Judge Cox, welcome, and we will start by having you introduce yourself and where you're from.
I am Judge Nathan Cox from Sarpy County, District Court Judge in Sarpy County in the 2nd Judicial District.
Thank you very much. Counsel, Mr. Brower, you're here this morning.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to you. And Mr. Hahn, you're here this morning.
Yes, I am.
Good morning to you. Do either of you have any questions before we begin? Very well, then, Mr. Brower, you may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court, good morning to you all. My name is Sig Brower, and I am doing business as Brower Law Office. As you know, I'm the appellant here. It looks like this court may be, for the first time, being asked to review a dispute in which representation under a contingency fee agreement did not result in a corpus or a fund to be distributed from which the attorney fee that would normally accrue was available. In this case, however, I believe in reality, it's not any different than the average or normal case prosecuted under a contingent fee. It looks different because the parties that were the defendant here was a party to a case in federal court. And in that court, the court combined or consolidated my client's claim there with a claim by the opposing party. They weren't counterclaims, they were just separate claims that the court combined. So it looks different, but in reality, I think that you'll see looking underneath that it doesn't change anything. The fact that those cases were combined do not alter the rights or obligations of the parties here to the fee agreement that existed.
It's your position that this is not a reverse contingent fee agreement? Is that
right? Would be my position. Reverse contingent fee agreement, at least according to what the ABA appears to be saying, is that would be an agreement entered for the purpose of attempting to avoid loss of property or loss of value of property. And that was not the basis of the agreement here. The basis of the agreement here was to present a claim to obtain damages for crop loss in this situation. It may look a little like a reverse contingency fee agreement, but I think if you look at the principles expressed, at least by the ABA and what I've seen on it, it would not fall into that category. We're here because the
agreements.
I'm sorry.
Are there two agreements for the fees in this case?
There are. The defendants came to me initially to pursue the crop loss agreement. During those discussions, I was informed that they had a bill outstanding at a co-op and that the co-op had been talking to them about getting it paid, but there were discussions between the co-op and its insurer, supposedly, to obtain payment from the insurer because the co-op had errantly untimely sprayed the crop, my client's crop, and it caused about a 70% crop loss in damages.
So was that like a negligence action?
Which one?
The one for the crop loss.
Yes, it was negligent application of chemical.
That's seeking damages.
I'm sorry?
Seeking damages.
Yes, seeking about $163,000 worth of crop loss damages.
And so the contingency fee agreement was for that claim.
That is correct. The other issue that came up was later on, the co-op sued one of the brothers that were the Hartman Hay Company LLC members. And they asked me if I would represent them in that case. And so I treated it as a separate lawsuit, which it was, and I entered into an hourly fee agreement with them to do that because, of course, there would be no corpus at the end of that case.
So that was like a collection action.
It would have been a collection action by the co-op against Mr. Hartman.
And there was an hourly fee for that collection
action. There was. I agreed to do it at half my hourly rate because
did you bring suit on that?
I'm sorry.
Did you bring suit on that alleged breach?
They brought suit against Mr. Hartman, and that was the case that was consolidated with our crop loss claim case.
But in your case, the case before us, did you bring suit against Hartman and Hartman A for the breach of that agreement?
I brought suit for Hartman Hay Company against WECO.
I'm talking about this case before us here.
This case here?
The one that you brought.
After everything was resolved in federal court, and I presented a claim for fees, which was rejected or denied, then I brought this suit after everything else was done.
And one of the causes of action was on this agreement, this hourly fee agreement.
No, the contingency fee agreement.
There was
I take that back. It was on both of them because they didn't pay on.
And you were awarded a judgment on the hourly fee agreement.
That's correct.
Because there was an amount still due and owing.
That's correct.
And that's not before us now.
That was resolved in the lower court. I did not appeal that. I'm only appealing the failure to get a judgment on the contingent fee agreement.
And so that hourly fee agreement was on the collection action.
That is correct. there are a couple of things, I guess I just draw the court's attention to that I think are critical in terms of what the trial court did. The trial court rejected the attorney's fee claim and made some assertions that simply were not correct. It drew from the settlement agreement in federal court that there was something in there that contradicted our claim that the conclusively established admissions in trial court produced evidence, conclusively established evidence that there was an agreement, that there was value received by my client.
What value was received?
The value received was the dismissal of the lawsuit against Hartman Hay Company, against Kent Hartman and Hartman Hay Company for the unpaid
the collection action.
Yes, yes. And that was offset against the claim for crop loss. So we had the crop loss claim that was included. So
how would you,
I'm sorry,
compete the contingency fee? What is the amount you think you were owed?
The value, the contingency, yes. Agreement. The value that was established for that settlement agreement was approximately $126,631 and change. And that's based upon the conclusively established admissions of the defendants in the trial court that they received value out of that settlement for the crop loss claim. That's the value of the crop loss claim. My fee under the agreement is one third of that. So that's a simple answer to the question.
How is that the value of the crop loss claim when you were demanding $160,000 in the lawsuit?
Well, we did demand $160,000, and my client determined not to pursue the excess of Hartman Hay Company's claim above the competing claim of Wilbur Ellis. That was a decision made by the client when Wilbur Ellis came and asked if we would consider withdrawing our case, dismissing our case in exchange for them dismissing their case.
So in a contingency fee agreement, have we said that the fee has to be reasonable?
Well, I think that's a given.
That you, as the movant seeking the attorney's fee, have to show that the fee is reasonable.
I think that's true.
Was there evidence in this case that the fee was reasonable?
There's evidence that it was agreed to. There's no evidence challenging the reasonableness of it. I think that the law in Nebraska has been repeatedly that a one-third contingency fee is not unreasonable on a contingent fee agreement.
So one-third of recovery. It's assumed to be reasonable?
I think it's been determined to be that within the context of contingent fee.
No matter how much work is done.
Yes, I think that would be true. Because as I know the court realizes, there are some cases you'll work at interminably and get the same result as cases you might work at a short amount of time. Well, and it's a risk that attorney.
How much money did your clients ultimately get, if any, in the settlement of the two cases?
Did they get cash exchange? They got no cash exchange. They got in exchange for settlement the dismissal of the $126,000 claim of Wilbur Ellis Company.
So do we treat that as debt forgiveness? What are you suggesting? I mean, I'm trying to follow your math.
Well, here it's not math. I don't think it's math. I think if you look at it from a practical standpoint, those claims were consolidated for the convenience of the federal court. What could have happened and was on track until that happened was we had two separate claims point. One was for the crop loss and one was for the account. If you treat those as they were separate cases, what could have happened, absent the consolidation, is that each of them would have gotten a judgment. And we can say they would have gotten a judgment for the same amount because that's what they ultimately settled for. They ultimately both believe the value of their cases were the same. Well, they would not have settled without some kind of an offsetting payment. If that's the case, then we would have had the right to collect on the payment made to Wilbur Ellis, and then Hartman Hay would have had to have paid WECO on whatever their judgment was. Assuming they're the same, all we're doing is we're asking, where does the money come from that pays the attorney fee? Well, it comes from Hartman Hay Company, because they received the benefit, even though it wasn't in cash, it was in the value of the $126,000 dismissal from Wilbur Ellis. The only thing that I think confuses this case is the fact that they were combined, and as a result, you didn't have one party paying the other one $126,000, and they take a check and pay the other one $126,000. That would have happened if these two cases had been separated, because they were separate cases. They weren't counterclaims or offsetting claims. They just ended up that way because the court consolidated them in federal court.
Isn't it just as possible that both sides decided their claim was worth zero? I mean, your take on it is, well, one claim was worth $126,000 and the other was worth $126,000 and the parties both agreed to walk away. But for all we know, isn't it just as possible both sides decided their claim was worth nothing and decided to walk away?
Two things could have happened at trial, and one of them did. One of them was the defendants admitted the value of the claim. Had that not happened, we were prepared to and would have gone to court, brought in the Wilbur Ellis people, tried the case on the basis of what's the value of your claim. And they would have put that evidence on. The trial court would have decided what that evidence proved the value of the settlement claim was.
Sir,
yes.
The term value and benefit have been used interchangeably. Is it your position that those are equivalent terms?
What terms?
Value versus benefit.
I think that's a good question. The question is, I don't know what the difference is. The court below seemed to think there's a difference, but it never explained what the difference was. Under Nebraska law, contracts are entitled to have the normal, everyday, common definitions of commonly used terms applied. And in this case, we have terms that have similar or have synonyms that are interchangeable. And I put a laundry list in my brief, which I'm sure you've seen. So the terms are interchangeable. In essence, it seems to me what the lower court's doing is saying, if you don't put a thesaurus of terms in your contract, we don't know what it says, or we don't know what it's going to apply to and what it's not going to apply to. And I don't think that's the law in Nebraska. We're entitled to use of synonymous terms to mean the same thing. When we ask that the defendants received a benefit. They admitted that they did. They admitted the value of that benefit. That's where I get the value of that settlement. I don't get it from anywhere else. There was no evidence of the value in the federal court cases. And that's why I had to determine that in the county, in the trial court. And I did it through admissions. And I'm out of time, so I appreciate it. And I just ask this court to look at it. And I believe it needs to be sent back with to order entry of judgment for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hahn. Good morning to you.
May it please the court. My name is John Hahn, and I represent the appellants in this case. There were two contracts for services. One was the contingent fee agreement, and one was essentially an agreement that was not signed, but they went by the terms of an hourly rate, which if you look at that particular agreement, it talks about the defense of the heart of the Wilbur Ellis claim against Mr. Hartman. The contingent fee case talks about the contingent fee on basically the crop loss case. And if one really examines the contingent fee case, it really is a reverse contingent fee case because it talks about value, which includes cancellation of debt. So it is a reverse fee agreement. Wilbur Ellis and Hartman Hay entered into this global settlement where they both simply walked from their claims. There was no cancellation of debt. There was no value given to either party under that settlement agreement. So Mr. Bauer continues to argue that there was value there. Well, value is different than benefit by definition of Black's Law Dictionary. A benefit is something received where cancellation of debtorness is a cancellation of debt. In the settlement agreement, the parties were very, very clear that neither party was acknowledging any liability whatsoever to the other, and that they, in fact, are not establishing a value of either claim.
What did you admit in admission 23 and 24? What does it mean that you received a benefit in the WECO claim of not less than $126,000?
Well, first, I think the judge erred, which we did not raise the question of us allowing us to amend the non-answer.
Why were you not allowed to amend your?
I don't know, Your Honor.
But that's not before us.
That's not before you, Your Honor. But if you look at the terminology of the request, it talks about a benefit. The contingent fee agreement talks about cancellation of debt. It does not say, quote, benefit. So if you look at the.
It says value received. What's the difference between, and I'm quoting, says the client shall pay as attorney compensation for services rendered 1/3 of the total recovery of monies, value received, or value of properties recovered. So what's the difference between value received and a benefit?
Well, value received would be some type of compensation for the crop damages. There was no value received. And
so what's a benefit?
Well, that's the benefit is probably an admission in the sense that it was resolved. But again, this being a reverse contingent fee agreement, some value had to be established as to what was actually resolved. There's been no value established either on Hartman's claim or Wilbur Ellis's claim. The courts and the opinions clearly say you cannot use an alleged damage as a basis for a claim because it may not be correct.
But here we don't have just an alleged damage. We have this admission we're stuck with, don't we?
Well, you have the admission. However, that admission is defined by a benefit. It doesn't say a value received. It says a benefit by the request for the admission. Had the request for admissions was expanded and put in their value, that would be a different story. But the admissions do not cover value. It says benefit. And those are two distinct definitions under Black's Law Dictionary. So, as the court noted, there was a judgment entered on the contract for the hourly basis, which was specifically set forth for the defense of the claim by Wilbur Ellis against Hartman. That was awarded to the court. And we're not disagreeing with that, nor are we disagreeing with the district court's modification of the interest rate and $400-some costs. We're not raising that issue. With regard to the courts, they clearly have determined that there was no breach in that contingency fee contract, which there was not. And because there was no breach, the appellate here had to show value. He has no value established in the county court or in the record as to what the value was received by Hartman Hay.
Is there any requirement to show the reasonableness of the fee?
I believe there is, Your Honor. And we, in our brief, raised that issue that these fees may not be reasonable. Because if you look at what Mr. Bauer is saying, his fee would be $42,000 plus he would get his hourly rate defending the lawsuit, which for, in our opinion, would be excessive fees. So he was doubling
up. How much did he get for the hourly?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
How much did he get for the hourly benefits?
He was awarded $5,000 after Mr. Hartman paid $3,500. So the judgment is about $7,000 now with the interest.
Do we have anything in our record that tells us how much time Mr. Brower expended on the contingent fee contract on the claim against WECO?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe we do. And they're obviously, quite frankly, as a practical matter, they're all going to be co-mingled.
Because so you're co-mingled together, is $7,000 a reasonable fee for these two cases?
I believe it is, Your Honor, yes. Because that was what it was agreed to.
What was the total hours spent? Do we know?
I do not know, Your Honor.
There is some billing records in the record. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay.
We have set forth 8 factors to consider in determining an award of attorney's fees, such as the experience of the attorney, the general reasonableness of the fee in the area, those types of things. Were any of those 8 factors evidence presented or considered by the court?
I don't believe they did, Your Honor, because I think they determined that there was no fee that could be awarded in the contingent fee case anyway, and they did accept the hourly fees that Mr. Bauer presented at trial for the defense of the Wilbur lawsuit. So it's our position, Your Honor, that the court here should affirm both the county court and the district court's modification of that judgment. The final point that should be made is Mr. Bauer raises a question of fraud by Mr. Kent Hartman. Your Honor, nothing in the record would reflect that the court made any determination of that issue. And so with regard to that allegation, I believe is not before the court, in as much as there was no determination by the court as to that point. And Mr. Bauer tries to attempt to use the request for admissions and yet wants to ignore the request for admissions with regard to his alleged claim with regard to the fraud question. So it's our position, Your Honor, that the district court and county court properly determined this case, and we therefore ask the court to affirm the decisions. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, that concludes arguments in Brower versus Hartman. Hence, you are excused, and the court is adjourned for the day. Thank you all very much.